We have, over the past few weeks, been looking at the manner in which churches grow and become fruitful. And one of the things that we've been doing is unpacking one aspect of that each week. And one of the things that we've done is tried to see what they are and then apply them to ourselves. So we've looked at faith as one of the ways in which churches grow, faith that Jesus gives. We've also seen it is unity that Jesus gives, which helps churches to grow and to become strong. And we've also seen, the faith and the unity. And today what we're going to be looking at is the identity that Jesus gives us. And I want to unpack that with you for a few minutes today, because there is an identity that the Father will give you and will give to His church that is very, very different in some cases to the identity that someone else might give you. You know, they might call you names or something or whatever. That's not the identity from the Father. And what I want to do is share with you, to start off, this incident that is recorded by my friend Neil Lozano. And Neil's written this book. He's written a number of books. This one called Abba's Heart. He's written a number of other books. Unbound is the one that is selling worldwide for him. Neil and I, along with Carol and his wife Janet and a number of others of us, did some very long-term, fairly significant ministry in the Philadelphia area a few years back. And Neil has gone quite a distance from there. So this book, The Father's Heart, Finding Our Way Back to the Father's Delight, has some wonderful things in it. It's just newly published. And this is the story of Rick. And he says, Rick came to me for prayer because he was fighting violently in his sleep, sweating, punching, and cursing. His wife was afraid he would hurt her. When I asked about his family background, Rick described his emotionally absent father, who never showed him affection, verbally or physically. He never blessed him or approved of his choices. When he was older, Rick discovered that his parents had convinced him 3 months before their wedding day. Conceived him 3 months before their wedding day. So that's why they never celebrated their anniversary, he thought. I was a mistake. Though rejection and anger was deeply rooted in Rick's heart, he visited his father on his deathbed, desperately hoping to find some resolution of the relational pain and sense of loss. I want you to know that I am grateful for all you have done for me, and I want to tell you that I love you. He came like a beggar, provoking in his father a long-awaited response. What did he get? An emotionally insufficient, I appreciate that. And Rick's father left him in his emptiness, doubt, and pain. And as I led Rick to forgive his father, he confessed that he had changed his name. He had been given his dad's name, and to distance himself, to subconsciously reject his own identity. But as he repented of his anger and renounced the spirit of rejection, he was reconciled to the Father through Jesus. He took back his name. And more importantly, he took back his identity as a son. Rick entered his father's hospital room with the spirit of a fearful, begging slave. That afternoon in prayer, Rick followed Jesus through repentance and forgiveness, and he left with the spirit of sonship. This is the promise of Christ. That is a story of someone regaining their identity from the Father. And that is the way the Father works. And any of us may have some degree of need for that in our lives. And perhaps you may not have a relationship as broken with your father as Rick did. Or you may. Or you may have an absolutely wonderful relationship with your father. In any case, no matter what the case, there comes that moment when God the Father calls you by name. And that's the identity in which you begin growing and are transformed and become more like Jesus. And he will do that also with local churches like St. Francis here, where he will call the church by name. And that is the identity that the Father gives to that church. He's done it with us. He does it with every church. He does that quite a bit. And you might recall that one of the first things that God gave Adam to do was to start naming animals in creation. And it was one of the primary activities of God, of the expression of his love for us, is to give you an identity. And I want to look at that with you this morning just a little bit further and tie a few things together that we've looked at over the past couple of years. And one of the things I want to remind you of is last week, I believe it was, we looked at, if you will, levels of how you begin relating to Jesus. And just to remind you of that, you can be a fan of Jesus, and that means you are glad Jesus is around. You kind of like the idea that there's a Jesus. You can be a friend of Jesus, and that means if he asks you to do something, you might be able to do it if you don't have something else going on. Or you are a follower of Jesus, and that is, Jesus is in your house. You want to be with him. You want to do what he does. You want to, if he says for you to do something, you will do that because it's a higher priority. And then there's being in the family of Jesus. And that's where you are in his house, which is a different level than him being in your house. See, it's in his house you begin getting the identity and growing in it and being shaped by the identity that the Father gives to you. The name by which he calls you, he calls you that name in his house. Just like in the families that we're familiar with, you are called a name and by a name and given a name in your house. And when you're in that house, that's the name by which you're called. It's your identity. Moving into the house of Jesus means not only will you do what he asks you to do, you will do everything he does because that's your identity. You may recall we've looked at what obedience is several times recently, and obedience is acting consistently with your identity. It's not an outward imposition of rules, or this is the way we do it here, or this is what you need to find out so that you can fit in, or whatever you have experienced from outward pressure to conform. And religiously, that's sometimes called obedience. It's from within. It's the Father calling you by your name and you acting consistently with that identity. And that's what we see going on with Jesus in his relationship with us, with you and me. He's calling us by a name. Now, there are a couple of implications that I would like to underline with you about that, show you a bit of how that works in our lives. Because it is very, very important. In fact, just to be a little bit more transparent with you, describing this to you or to anyone else is a little more difficult for me than some other aspects of the Christian faith. And the reason it's a little more difficult for me is because I find this to be the core of what it is to be following after Jesus, to be in his family. It is the foundation of it. And I find it to be one of the, if not the most important aspect of living a Christian life, of following after Jesus with everything that you have, of loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And I just, as you know, the thing that is the most important to you can be the most difficult to describe to someone else. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm just trying to underline how important this is. Because it is extremely important. It's of the highest priority. Part of heart of what Jesus will do is call you by the gifting that he has given you. He's created you that way. And we've seen that a handful of times. And interestingly enough, it comes up today in the lectionary from Ephesians 4. And I thought this translation was quite well done. Obviously, because I agree with it, but that's it's also quite well done otherwise. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, and so forth. And it will continue until we see such unity in our faith and knowledge in God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. And you see where what we're looking at here. We've already looked at unity, faith, the knowledge of God. Today we're looking at what it is to be mature in the Lord, which is your identity, growing into the identity that God gives you. And that's how we grow. That's what this portion describes. If somebody were to come in here and say, I have this need, I need this. Even this morning, they were to come and interrupt our proceedings, say, this is what I need. Then I would respond, if not verbally, I would start thinking, well, we need to have this person get into the position where we can invest into them so they can go into something new. See, invest in them is what a teacher does. He invests in you, invests the truth in you. And then an apostolic teacher will invest that in you so you can do something new that you've never done before, go into a new thing. Those of us who are prophetic will be thinking, if not saying, well, now this person needs to have just a grasp of the truth, what the real situation is. And they just saw what was going on. And then the person who is evangelistic would be saying, now what this person needs is to come on over to the house with a bunch of other people and get together. And then the pastoral person would say, somebody, probably me, but somebody needs to make sure this person is really all right. And then the teacher would say, as we mentioned, would want to invest in them. That's how that works. That's generally what's going on. And when you find yourself responding in that sort of a way, thinking about situations like that, that's the Father calling you by name. That's your identity. It's not your assignment. It's who you are in Christ because you were created that way. It's the way that you begin moving into the house of God and obeying, operating out of your identity, taking steps that are consistent with who you are, taking steps that are consistent with what God has called you, not what someone else has called you, but what God has called you. As you consider things here, as God begins opening up your heart and your mind about this, as you begin engaging right now with the Holy Spirit about what he's saying to you, some things may come to mind. And there may actually be in your life a chain of unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness may be towards someone who called you something other than your name, who violated who you really are by calling you something else besides what your Father called you. Or there may be a chain of demand that you carry around. And that demand is that the past be different. Something happened. Something was offensive to you. Something went on with you. Somebody called you something other than what our God and Father is calling you. And you need that to be different. And that's a demand that you carry around right now. Now, if something like that's coming up in your mind at this moment, there's a reason for that. And the reason is that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with it with you this morning. And the way the Spirit of God wants to deal with that this morning is for you to receive the name He calls you. The way to receive it is to release that demand. Let go of that offense. And let God fill that space by calling you by name. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says to the one who overcomes, I will give a white stone. And on that white stone will be written a name only you know. A white stone in that culture was often a ticket of admittance to whatever was going on in that city. Often it was the Olympics. What Jesus does this morning is offer you a white stone and a ticket of admittance into His house. Not just His love, not just His mercy, His house. When you receive that white stone, you're hearing the name by which He calls you, a name that resounds through your spirit. And you might not even be able to say what it is, but you know that God the Father has called you by name and made you His own. And that in and of itself gives you the capacity to follow Him, to do whatever He says, to forgive however He wants you to forgive, to move out in any direction He wishes for you to move. It's not a capacity that we have naturally on our own, but it's created within us when God calls you by name. And for some, so often it is, for most, it is breaking that chain of unforgiveness and demand that the past would have been different. So that in the power of the name by which He calls you, which is a portion of the name of Jesus, you can move in to what you were created to be. That's how you and I grow. That's how churches grow. That's how the kingdom is extended. That's how you learn to pray and stand. Having done all else, you can stand on that continual mercy which calls out the name by which you were called. That brings you and I to the place of maturity. That is the way to become spiritually mature. You know, when we baptize people, we ask the godparents, we baptize babies, we ask the godparents this: will you do everything by your prayers and your witness that this child can grow into the full stature of Christ? And next week, we're going to look at what the full stature of Christ is. There's a conclusion I draw from that. We can grow into the full stature of Christ. It's not unattainable. It is something that Jesus leads us to. And he leads us to it by calling you by name. Now this morning I was going back and forth with how do I want to do this? And I have a bucket of white stones at home. And I'm thinking, I could bring them in and everybody gets one. But then I thought, is that going to make the connection? So I decided not to bring them. And I thought I'd just let Jesus do that because he's better at everything else than I am. So this is what I want to invite you to do this morning. To stand, and we'll take a moment of quiet before the Lord and ask him to give each of us a white stone with our name that only we know is written on. Please stand. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you have done and that you do call us by name. That our identity is with you. Our capacity to follow and obey is with you. And so we ask now that you would extend to us the white stone you have for us with the name written on it that we would know. For in you, Lord Jesus, we have overcome. And by you, we hear you call our name. If you just give the Lord a moment. As the Lord does whatever he does with you, a memory, a thought, a sentence, a song, a picture, receive it, take it in, thank him for it, ask him to fill you with that identity. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, and we praise you for it. You direct our steps from this spot on. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I do want to tell you one more thing about this. It'll only take a moment. You can sit if you want, because that would only be polite on my part. You may be wondering how I do this. How does this happen to me? Because I've just described the way that it is, and what about, how's it happened in my life? And it goes like this. A little over 10 years ago, this is one of the instances. On a Sunday morning, Old Testament reading was about Abraham being instructed by God, get up and go to the place that I show you. So he left Ur and went down into, you know, Canaan. And I thought, well, how about that? Stuck with me? the next couple of days later, I'm in a Bible study group, and I just said, you know, that kind of struck me. The next Sunday, I felt the Lord tell me, it's time for you to go. And that's the congregation we've been in for 24 years. And I almost physically felt the responsibility lift off my shoulders. Went home and told Carol, we got to get out of here as fast as we can. The next day I went to the bishop and said, I need to resign. And I regret to say he did not try to talk me out of that. Which was a good thing. The next thing I know, I was in Phoenix. And the next thing I know, I'm here. And the Lord was telling me, you, John, are a gift to the church, just as we saw in Ephesians, that brings new things into new things. So here I am. I got to admit, that's a little uphill. And sometimes I'm thinking, how about demons? Could I just cast down demons instead of do that or something else, you know? But no matter how uphill that is on certain occasions, that's who I am. And when I follow that and I'm obedient to it and do my best to share that with you and others who are around, the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the ability to become like Jesus multiplies beyond what I know. Because that's his desire.